Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends, family in Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in, watching, listening, sharing. We've got our brother from Radical Truth, Tony Garule, back with us, radicaltruth.net. A lot of things to talk about. Brother, thank you so much for all you do. Thanks for joining us today.
David, it's always great to be with you and your audience.
Always, always. So a lot to get to today. There's an event you have coming up. We'll talk about that a little later. But basically, there's a lot of ignorance in the American church. Are you, maybe you want to just say we're kind of naive about Islam and the spread of Islam, maybe the intent of the radicals in that side. They're getting into American schools. They're in our government. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, but as I mentioned before we got on, we have a lot of newer viewers and listeners. Praise God. We're growing. That's the direction we want to go. And they maybe haven't heard of Radical Truth. Can you just give a basic rundown of what you do, what you specialize in, and then we'll talk about what's going on in the country?
Absolutely. Well, David, it's always great to be with you again. And at Radical Truth, we proclaim truth, share the gospel, and expose Islam. So when we proclaim truth, that has to do with not just, of course, proclaiming the truth that people need to know about Christianity and doing apologetics, but is also, of course, the gospel first and foremost. That's the solution to all the world's problems. That's the power of God into salvation. That's what all Muslims throughout the world need to hear. And of course, all non-Christians in general. But also we expose Islam. And this is what makes us unique in that we do these three things specifically. Because exposing Islam has to do with the Islamic agenda for the world. It has to do with a lot of the Islamists and their tactics and what they're doing here in the West, which I know we're going to talk about. And also, too, there's a lot of people out there who still don't know Islam according to Muhammad. And that when you look at the actions of ISIS and Al-Qaeda and these different jihadist groups, they're following Muhammad life to a T. If Muhammad were alive today, he wouldn't just join ISIS, he would lead it. And a lot of people who think that Islam's a religion of peace, quote unquote, and they think that peace is referring to peace in the Western sense of the world, word, like as in peace and tranquility, it doesn't. And Islam and Islamists, jihadists, etc., they all define all these terms differently. I know we're going to be talking about at least a couple of those terms today in one of these articles. But yeah, Dave, mm-hmm. That's what we do. Proclaim truth, share the gospel, and expose Islam. And we have a TV show that's on NRB TV, Direct TV Channel 378 every Saturday night. We have podcasts on probably 15 different platforms. We're in 126 countries now, 127 countries. I think we just added Malawi last week or so. And yeah, so we're reaching people in churches. And we speak at a lot of political groups as well. We do a lot of general evangelist training, general apologetics. So we're just here to equip the church.
It's great. I really appreciate what you guys do. And, you know, we've talked about this before, Tony, and that the church really in America really isn't up to speed on really what Islam is about. Because I think as Christians, do you find this accurate that we kind of want to love our neighbor, right? Love, love, love. We want to err on the side of giving other human beings the benefit of the doubt. But I think we miss the fact that there's a spiritual war going on, and there's people who are not really authentic in what they're doing when it comes to their religion, or particularly Islam. Now, there are nominal Muslims, just like there are nominal Christians, but we are talking about, we're going to get to talking about some terror cells in the U.S. Before we do that, can you explain maybe what the solution is to the church in America, to Christians who should be informed and understanding these things and where we are from that perspective with the spread of Islam?
Yeah, sure. If you want to pull up that poster that we have, this is a flyer of our brand new Grace and Truth events. And this first one, as you can see there, is booked in Pensacola, Florida, next month, November 15th, I believe is what it says there. It's kind of far away. But basically, my colleague, Olin Giles, who's the newest missionary on with Radical Truth. He's been with us for about a year now. I've been with here at Radical Truth for about 6 years. But Olin Giles and I, this is a presentation that we recently created together. We have a lot of individual presentations that we've created and that we give regularly. But this is our brand new Grace and Truth that we collaborated on. And whether churches have me give it or Olin give it, you're pretty much going to get the same exact core material either way. And this is the most well-rounded presentation that we have for churches in particular, because when I speak at political events, they don't care about the gospel. They just want to know about Islamic law, the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm. They want to know about the threats of Islam. When you're in churches, a lot of them don't want to touch the political aspects of Islam, but they want to know, hey, how do I reach my Muslim neighbor, my Muslim coworker, the Muslim who, you know, lives down the street or works down the street or whoever? What do I say to the average Muslim who I see at the grocery store? So we want to equip the church in multiple ways. Number one, they need to know Islam according to Muhammad, just to be aware of it, to be aware of the threat overall, which is not going away. At the same time, they need to know and realize that the solution is the gospel.
Yes.
And 1.8 billion Muslims throughout the world need the gospel. Most Muslims have never heard it. If they have heard it, they don't understand it.
Right.
And of course, both of those are required for Muslims to realize what the gospel is, repent, and put their trust in Christ. And I'm going to pull up a little list here of the things that we cover in this Grace and Truth event. Number one, we do start off with the gospel because that is the solution, as I said. And we explain that. We go in depth to make sure that people who attend this event, if they are there at a church, they say they're Christians. Well, you know, are you saved yourself? Are you a Christian? If you can't explain the gospel to me, you know, why should I believe that you're a Christian, and so on? So it's what is the gospel? Why do we need it? Then we get into Islam and we talk about some similarities between Christianity and Islam. We also talk about the differences, which are what truly matter.
Huge.
We talk about some important distinctions between Muslims and Islam. Now, Dave, Olin and I and Christine, we're all very clear on this to people. We love Muslims because they're people made in the image of God who Jesus Christ died for. They just happen to be Muslims. But guess what? They're potential Christians because they can repent and put their trust in Christ. Now, we critique Islam, and we don't like Islam. Islam is a religio-political system which is keeping 1.8 billion Muslims in bondage. Mm. They think it's true, even though it's not.
Yeah.
They're threatened with death if they leave Islam. So here in the West, the positive sign of this mass immigration coin is that we can actually reach Muslims with the gospel legally, give them a Bible, give them a Gospel of John, give them a gospel tract, give them a Jesus film, whatever. We could not do that in the countries that they're coming from. So again, this is the positive aspect of immigration. Mm-hmm. The negative aspect is that Islamization is the goal, and that's the Islamic goal of the mass immigration. So people need to know about both of these things. Dave, we also cover, of course, the solutions in this workshop, and that's evangelism, apologetics, and polemics. And we can go more in depth into that. But also, we end this workshop with either a Q&A, or we can even do a panel discussion if the pastor of the church wants to participate in that himself, or if he wants to bring in, you know, other speakers in the area, whoever. So anyway, Grace and Truth is our newest event. Again, okay. It's catered for churches in particular.
Great. So Islamization is not the same as assimilation. Very important, right?
Right, right.
yeah. And you said something, Islam according to Muhammad. And I'm guessing Islam according to, for example, the mainstream media, it's not the same as what actually is happening in our country because they kind of sugarcoat everything. So really quickly, back to Islamization and terror cells. We hear a lot about terror cells. We've been hearing about, well, since 9/11, some people have been paying more attention to this. Tony, why do you think, knowing that they're here in America, those who are radicalized on that side, wanting to do damage to the infidel or to America or to Jews, why do you think they haven't made a big move yet?
I don't think there has been an official call for that. I also don't think that things in America are in the situation that they should be for this 0 day, so to speak, to take place. Hmm. When in 2019, when I released this, Lights Out, When Islam Rules America, in there I talked about the four areas of American society being Islamized: education, immigration, government, and churches. I talked about the threat of jihad taking place in America. I shared a little video clip of a guy who says, hey, what happened in Middle Eastern countries? People remember the Arab Spring back in 2012, all this other stuff. You know, they use that as in the mainstream media, they talked about, oh, these Muslims, they just want democracy, they just want freedom. Yeah. But what was happening behind the scenes was this was a Muslim takeover that was taking place. I've mentioned to you Sherry Behrens, whose book I've done multiple shows on. Yep. And she gave a behind the scenes day by day diary account of Islamization that was taking place while the Western media was saying, oh, these Muslims just want freedom and democracy. So the problem, Dave, with Islam is, again, it's a religio-political system, a religion and a political ideology combined.
Yeah.
The jihadists who are out there physically fighting have the same end goal as the guys wearing suits who are trying to make Islam acceptable in the West and are saying, oh, we just want justice, we just want peace and freedom. And they are doing like this. I know we have a news story about taxpayers funding Islamic schools in Tennessee. Our last show, we talked about the Islamization of Texas and all the mosques that are being built, being expanded upon, churches being bought, turned into churches. Churches being bought, turned into mosques and all of that. So it's all because in the Quran, chapter 48, verse 28, it tells everyone who reads it that Islam is supposed to rule all over all other religions. It's the goal of Islam is to rule the world, for the world to be under Islamic law. But that can't take place unless Islamization takes place. In America, you know, we have a military, we have a lot of defense against any type of physical fighting activities. So how do they subvert the West? How do they Islamize the West? That's through, not through the sword, that's through money, that's through the pen, that's through dawah, that's through building mosques that they're hoping to be filled by Muslims someday. It's a different tactic in the West. And the thing is that, yeah, we have this threat of the jihadists, but people need to realize that that is in some way, to some degree, a distraction from the Islamization that's slowly taking place anyway because of the works of the Islamists who have the same end goal.
So now let's bring up that article, Jeff, about General Flynn sharing a report on terror cells, and this is over at radicaltruth.net. And I just want to read what Laura Loomer reported on this, and quoting Michael Flynn in this article as well. Sources tell me tonight that the National Counterterrorism Center has officially determined that Islamic terrorists affiliated with Al-Qaeda have infiltrated U.S. soil and are actively planning a series of coordinated Islamic terror attacks. This marks the first time federal counterterrorism officials have openly acknowledged the immediacy of such threats, signaling a potential escalation in domestic jihadist activity not seen since the height of ISIS-inspired plots in the mid-2010s. And then it goes on. A lot of information in that post. We should put this in our notes on under the video. But, Tony, tell us more about this and why you're concerned enough to put this on your website.
Yeah, I sent it out through newsletter as well, and it's basically informing people about the aspect of the mass immigration that people haven't really thought about. You know, a lot of people are happy thinking, oh, they're getting all these people deported. Well, they're basically primarily deporting people who have known criminal records. If there are jihadists in this country who came in using a false name, they aren't in a database of, oh, this person is a known criminal. Well, they are not the first ones on the list to be deported. They're deporting people who, again, for a lot of people who have known criminal records, or they are deporting some people who are terror threats, quote unquote. However, how many people came through the border over the last 4 years when Biden was in office, and how many of them have been taken out? How many are still here? How many of them have no criminal record? And they have this goal of Islamization because they're Muslim and they're a good Muslim, quote unquote, and they're following Islam according to Muhammad. But that doesn't mean that they're out there physically fighting right when they get here. Some are because they're impatient. Others are very patient. Yep. And the most patient of all are the Islamists, who are just working to make Islam acceptable in the West and bring about Islamization that way. So that's the thing. In a number of my new presentations that I give, I have a slide where I say 1.8 billion Muslims, but then I break that down and say, look, we have jihadists, we have Islamists, We have what you might call nominal Muslims. We have cultural Muslims. The thing is, out of those four groups, who's actually following Islam according to Muhammad and Islam according to Islam's primary sources? Maybe I should say that, because there is an in-house debate going on of who was Muhammad, did he exist, when did he exist, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just saying, one of my new slides too is, here are six reasons or eight reasons why it doesn't matter whether Muhammad existed or not. And one of those is because Islamization is still going to take place anyway.
Yes.
Because you have 1.8 billion Muslims who think that he did exist.
Yep.
And if you're not sharing the gospel with Muslims, if you're not doing apologetics to defend Christianity, if you're not doing polemics to let them know why Islam is false, don't be surprised when 1.8 billion people keep doing what Muhammad said to do.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting question, and we're enjoying the research. And Olin, my colleague, is doing a master's degree in polemics and apologetics to Islam, covering all this historical critique stuff. However, like I said, Islamization is still going to take place.
Yeah.
Persecution of Christians and Jews and other non-Muslims is still going to take place, whether Muhammad existed or not. The Islamization of the West is going to continue to take place. The jihadist threats to non-Islamic areas of the world are going to continue to take place. Now, I don't remember exactly all six of what is still going to take place are. I know, again, another one of them just popped in my mind was, again, the threat of the Muslim Brotherhood and Muslim Brotherhood front groups who are throughout America. But the two things that need to continue to happen, though, or what need to start happening, is Christians need to share the gospel with all Muslims everywhere. And Christians need to continue to do apologetics and defend the historic Christian faith.
Yes.
And that's why this New Grace and Truth event, that a workshop that we've created, does these three things. It focuses on the gospel primarily. We also get into apologetics. We also get into polemics. Mm-hmm. And we explain to your church the real threat of Islam and Islamization that they need to know about,
yeah,
along with the truth and the solution. So
we've done before on other podcasts here on Worldview Matters, Tony, you and I, especially you and your expertise, you have contrasted Christianity and Islam, Jesus versus Muhammad. And there couldn't be a bigger contrast, I think, in two, quote unquote, religious leaders. But maybe people can look up those past episodes at worldviewmatters.tv. Just look up Tony Gurule, G-U-R-U-L-E, and all of the episodes that we've done with Tony will come up, because we have talked about this. Maybe we might want to do it again in the near future, because it's so important to contrast the two, you know, Christianity and Islam. But I want to ask you, if this is a concern, and you know our government probably knows the threat level, they probably know what's going on across the country, and that's, they probably don't want to alarm the public, but why do you think our government leaders, the lawmakers, have not addressed this growing threat of Islamic terror or potential terror in the U.S.? Why do you think the Congress, you know, our lawmakers haven't addressed this?
It's not only because we have devout Muslims in Congress, but we have many congressmen on both sides, both Republican and Democrat, that have been influenced by the Islamists who, again, if you want, what's an Islamist is usually the nicest guy in the room. That's usually how he's described, because he's always trying to be, you know, buddy-buddy with everybody. And again, the goal is Islamization. They're trying to make Islam acceptable in the West. They're trying to make everyone out there think that the jihadists who are out there physically fighting, that's an aberration of Islam. That's not true Islam. They say, oh, those are the radicals, like as in militants. But the word radical doesn't mean militant or violent. It means to go back to the root of something. Dave, our ministry is called Radical Truth. Does that mean that we're violent about the truth?
That's right.
Out there doing violence? No. We're going back to the roots of Christianity, the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And radical Christianity is the solution to radical Islam. Because a radical Christian does what Jesus said to do. A radical, yes, Muslim does what Muhammad said to do.
That's great.
The thing is that there are many Muslims in the West who they have a cognitive dissonance going on, saying, okay, Muhammad said to do this, but I'm living in this Western society. You know, they like America in whatever way they like it. I mean, so there's always a cognitive dissonance with a Muslim who wants to be devout, but at the same time has that God-given law written upon their hearts. And that's why we as Christians need to take Muslims through the law, just like we take any non-Muslim through it, to help them realize their sin, that their need for a savior, and help the good news make sense makes sense with only the good news. Lots of times only makes sense when people realize the bad news first.
Right.
We got to help people realize that they're sinners. So the good news actually sounds like good news.
Yes.
And that's the same case with a Muslim. So to answer that question, it's because the government has been infiltrated by Islamists who are using the terms peace, freedom, justice, and human rights. Yeah. But they don't mean it in the Western sense of the term. Peace doesn't mean freedom. It means lack of opposition. In other words, when the whole world's under Islamic law, the whole world is under Dar al-Islam or the House of Peace, then there's peace, quote unquote, because there's no opposition against Islam.
Wow.
Justice is defined by Islamic law. Human rights is defined by Islamic law. And when they talk about human rights, they're not talking about the Declaration of Human Rights. We're talking about the Cairo Declaration of Human Rights, which is an Islamized version of human rights according to Sharia, Islamic law.
Yeah.
So people need to know that our government has been infiltrated by the Islamists. And again, same goal as the jihadists, just that they're very patient. The jihadists are not.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, not unlike the left and the Marxists in America, very patient in infiltrating culture and society to bring about revolution or whatever their end game is. But before we run out of time, Alex Newman, our colleague here and our friend over at Liberty Sentinel, did a recent article over on his Substack, Taxpayers Are Funding Islamic Schools in Tennessee. And you're going, Tony, how could this happen in any state in America, let alone Tennessee? And he says, Tennessee is forcing taxpayers to fund Islamic indoctrination camps teaching Sharia law and jihad to children under the guise of, quote, education. This will come to the rest of the U.S. if it's not stopped. And I'll read one more sentence or two, and I'll let you respond. A new government-funded school choice program in Tennessee is already funneling taxpayer money to multiple Muslim schools across the state that openly embrace Sharia law, Islamic law, and jihad. School leaders are also using the students to lobby state officials. Tony, if it can happen in Tennessee, my goodness, your thoughts on this?
Just like we talked about, how can all this mosque building and Islamization take place in Texas? Yeah. If it can take place there, it can take place anywhere.
Wow.
Dave, they're going for what are known to be the conservative states of America.
Interesting.
Because the liberal states of America are falling right in line and ready for socialism, which Vladimir Lenin said basically said that the goal of socialism is communism.
Mm-hmm.
And because Islamists and Marxists, socialists, communists, etc., have the same mutual hatred for America and hatred for freedom in general. That's why they're willing to work together temporarily. However, their end goals are mutually exclusive, because in communist countries, you don't have Muslims in power. If you're an Islamic country, you don't have a communist in power. Communism is just anti-God across the board. That's why you have Muslims being persecuted in addition to Christians and Jews and other people in communist countries, because they're just completely anti-God, which means completely anti-Allah as well. But, you know, here in America, as it says in that story, in quotes, it says, our message was clear. Tennessee's Muslim community is engaged, organized, and committed to advocating for, here's the key word, justice.
Ooh.
As I said, peace, freedom, justice, and human rights. These are the terms that they're going to use
justice.
As they try to. Right. Which is basically means just us, because if you're not a Muslim, then, you know, you're not going to be on the same level or be in power as they gain power themselves.
Good point.
They are your friend until they gain power, just like Muhammad. When he was in Mecca, again, according to tradition, when Muhammad had no power, no followers, no money, he just spoke about religious matters. As he gained power, followers, and money, and military might, it became more political preaching than religious.
What's the status? Many years ago, especially during the Obama administration, I remember all these headlines coming out and finding out that some schools were teaching the five pillars of Islam. Now, maybe they teach that under the umbrella of world religions or world history. But do you know what's the latest on that, Tony? Are they still doing that? Or because Christian Christian parents kind of had a problem with that. They went to school board meetings and said, hey, if you're not going to teach the Bible, what are you doing teaching this? Do you have any updates on that?
I don't have any very recent updates. People just need to be aware of it. I mean, obviously, yeah. Even if someone goes to a community college and takes a class on world religions, they're going to be learning about Islam to a degree. The problem is that for decades now, Middle Eastern countries have been giving more money to American universities and colleges than those same universities and colleges get from actual American taxpayers. So if Muslims and Islamic countries are funding school programs throughout the U.S., they're going to have the main say in the curriculum that is taught. So it's like, wow. You know, that's why you look at some of these most well-known universities that have totally watered down, sugar-coated Walt Disney versions of Islam that they teach, when it has nothing to do with the real Muhammad of history, according to tradition, and Islam's primary sources. Interfaith dialogues only happen in non-Islamic countries because there's nothing to gain in Islamic countries. They're already under Islam. So the Islamization takes place in Western countries. Interfaith dialogues take place in Western countries. It's all different tactics to work towards Islamization.
Mm-hmm. You know, people better wake up, and the church better wake up and stop being naive about this. We don't have to be fearful or paranoid now, because we are still called to share the gospel and to love our neighbors, but not accept their worldview or beliefs into our own society and our schools and culture and everything else. But Tony, thank you for, again, reminding us of this is an important issue. The gospel has to go forth, but also we need some discernment. Your final thoughts in about 45 seconds.
I would encourage all Christians out there, let your pastors know about our ministry, Radical Truth. Radicaltruth.net is our website. Our brand new Grace and Truth event, the very first one, is booked in Pensacola, Florida next month. We just had an inquiry the other day in Illinois. So this, I think, is going to take off as long as we continue to let churches know about it. It's brand new. But again, this is the most well-rounded, gospel-focused event that you can get at your church to equip Christians to reach Muslims with the gospel and to be knowledgeable about the true threat of Islam that people need to know about.
Mm. Brother, thank you so much, Tony. We really appreciate all you do. Appreciate you being here again today. Lord willing, we'll do this again.
Thank you, David.
Friends, God bless you. Thanks for your prayers and your support. And always keep speaking the truth about things that matter. See you next time.